microphones and make a podcast. Two microphones and you make a podcast.
Hi, this is Joyce.
And this is Mary Beth.
Welcome to the Modern Yoga Podcast with technical difficulties.
And luckily, no guests.
Luckily.
I mean, for us to have technical difficulties with.
True. I feel like it's a little bit strange to hear your voice.
Yeah. Does it sound sexy?
It does. But I mean, knowing how you don't like to talk on the phone and I haven't seen you in like, feels like 4 months.
It feels like, you think it feels like 4 months? To me, it feels like, oh, a year. I was only gone for 2 weeks and it's not like I went to another continent or anything, just North Carolina. But the trip was in two segments. First was visiting the mountains and then babysitting our grandkids for a week. And once that happened, even the part of the trip that involved the mountains felt like 2 years prior. I have a, not that I didn't understand it or have respect for it before, but I have a newfound respect again for people living the life, because first of all, James was talking about, you know, Libya. And I said, listen, I don't know what's going on in the world. I haven't had anything, but what are some things they like to watch? There's a funny YouTube, actually, James might like this. The kids love this funny YouTube show called Dude Perfect. Have you heard of this?
No.
I can't even explain it, but the kids love it.
I'm going to have to play that for Alina.
In the modern, I don't know if Alina will love it yet. So Jackson's four, but he's sort of a little older than that. And Kennedy's nine. And it's a bunch of dudes doing stuff, but not harmful stuff. They're funny. They're nice. It's probably a little mature for little kids. Not that it's, I don't mean mature content. I just mean maybe a little bit over their heads. But listen, I started to love it. But my point is the modern generation has only streaming services. So you're either watching something on Netflix or on YouTube or on Hulu or on Apple TV. And you can be really insulated in a bubble of entertainment. And I didn't even have much time to check social media. Like I would post to my story because the kids are so freaking cute, but I didn't have time to scroll through and see what was happening in the world. I commented to Jeff a couple days ago, the union auto workers are on strike again. That happened like, I don't know, the 70s, the 80s. I just feel like I'm in a time warp.
It's funny because our TV broke in the living room just a few days ago. Like the, just like Zoom today, the audio is fine, but there's no picture.
And I don't know if you remember when we were young, what would happen. Really, you wouldn't replace it or repair it. You might have two TVs in your living room, one for sound and one for picture, right? Like your parents would drag the old one from the bedroom or something. But now TVs are so disposable in cost right now.
Yeah, they are. Well, what's funny though is that we don't really watch it that much. Like it's not on, we don't watch.
Not like it used to.
We just kind of realize that everybody watches what they want to watch on their own device, mm-hmm. including Alina. Mm-hmm. And like the last time we watched a Netflix show together or a movie together, like, you know, more than two people. Like, we don't even know.
Yep, I agree.
So do we need, like, this big-ass TV in our living room? No.
No. Except I'm sure it's going to end up, whether it's big-ass or not, that's going to be, you know, like the Jetsons, like the central hub. Like, won't we have a big screen like that where we will, if we want to, answer our FaceTime call or ask Alexa for a recipe and have her put it up there? Or,
and that's exactly what Ashley said. She's like, why don't we get an Apple TV? And well, is it the TV or is it just the device? But that
listen, You're asking the wrong person. I already feel left behind.
Yeah. You were in the mountains.
Not working, you know, in kind of a corporate or technology supported setting in like a dozen years now, I do feel like it's all passed me by, which is scary because I'm going to be dependent on, you know, bothering people younger than myself to help me with stuff, to fix stuff, to help me watch TV.
I guess it's, I thought I saw somewhere that there was like an actual, I feel so dumb, an actual Apple TV, and mm-hmm. I'm not seeing it on the Apple store. So
maybe they don't call it a TV. Maybe they call it a, what my father-in-law would call it, the big eye.
Here comes James.
Oh boy. We're going to get coached.
It's just a device. I got it. That's what I, sorry, I do yoga all day long. I don't know what you expect.
But thanks, coach.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it makes more sense than what I overheard you and James talking about moments ago, which is the Apple water bottle that Jamie turned you on to.
Hey, I think that I drink a lot of water, but then I really think about it. I'm like, do I?
To spend money and have a device and another item to tell you to drink water sounds crazy to me for you. Like, I can't believe that's even on your radar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, so I was thinking about it yesterday. I taught at 5:45, so I grabbed a bottle of water. Usually I have my water with the lemon,
Your refillable infuser. I have the same one, right? We sometimes see it at the studio together. You could put your lemon wedges or strawberries or basil in there, cucumber.
But I have no lemons right now. So I just grabbed a bottle of water at the studio and poured one of the hydration packs in there. And after my 5:45 class, I maybe drank a third of it. So I went to, you know, the little water thing and filled it to the top. Well, that's not a whole 8 ounces or what's in there, 16. And then I stayed and took Aaron's class a few hours later and drank maybe most of the bottle of water and then filled it up again. It's kind of like coffee with me. Like I like coffee when it's a certain hot, like not scalding hot, but like you got to start scalding hot so that it can get really hot. But then once it starts cooling down, I just pour more scalding hot water in it to get up to, you know, so I feel like I drink a lot of coffee as well, but I don't really drink a lot of coffee. I just drink hot, really hot coffee.
A third of a cup at a time. Yeah. Maybe. I see. That's why it's easy to be me, where I am good with food and drinks being room temperature all day.
Oh, I'm fine with water being room temperature. I don't need it to be ice cold. Actually, I hate that at restaurants because usually restaurants are cold anyhow.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, for the first day I have on, I don't know if you can see me with our sort of jacked up technology, but I have on a hoodie that says sweater weather.
And I think maybe that's the big change. You left in the summer and you came back in the fall.
I left and it got really hot here, like 90. And
it was
now
so
I'm back.
Hot. It was like, here's the grand
happening?
Finale. And then it was like two Thursdays ago. I think it was at midnight. I'm not a weather person. And then it became fall that Friday.
Wow.
It was the first Friday of fall softball in Strongsville. And it was scorching hot all week.
Oh my gosh.
And then literally it was just this beautiful fall evening.
And listen, fall is beautiful. And I do love fall as much as I kind of whine and complain about summer leaving. But the only reason to whine in the fall is because you know what's next.
Yeah. I don't
but
hate
fall
winter.
Itself. Ugh.
Do you hate winter?
Yes.
I think it's
yes.
The snow is beautiful, but it doesn't. The problem here is it doesn't really snow anymore. It just kind of like, it just gets gray and it throws some flakes down every now and then. And then even less often it bombs down and then it gets gray and yucky again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was explaining that to Kennedy. We were talking about snow and you know, it seems to me in recent memory, it doesn't really snow much even by Christmas here anymore. I feel like when we were kids, Thanksgiving was even snowy. We've had a lot of Thanksgivings where we could be semi-outdoors.
Well, my birthday is November 18th, and I have photos
So you have
I'm little with blown out candles, and out the window behind me is snow, like
big
that
snow.
Needed to be shoveled snow. Because it always seemed to be Halloween that was, are we going to have a good Halloween or a bad one?
Right. You'd have to wear a winter coat over your costume or try and get it under your costume, which sucked when you're a kid.
Yeah. Not so much these days.
No. No, so fall is beautiful. I mean, that change in the air and things like apple cider and eventually cute boots and pumpkin beer and hot tea.
Are you a pumpkin person?
I am. I don't do like the pumpkin lattes and everything. In fact, at the end of class yesterday, I was talking about the pumpkin stuff. The Republic of Tea, but also many lesser expensive teas have like a pumpkin spice tea bag situation. Well, that sounded wrong. Not a tea bag situation, a tea. And if you make that with just a little bit of honey and a tiny drop of your kind of milk, it scratches that itch without the big frothy chemical sugar fat shitstorm that a pumpkin spice latte is.
I like Beyond Juicery in Brecksville so much. They're like,
oh, I haven't been there.
It's up, you know where the Starbucks is in Brecksville?
Mm-hmm.
It's right next to it.
Oh.
But
how modern is that shit right there? That little plaza, that little Starbucks and a juicery.
My phone is on Do Not Disturb, so somebody must have called a bunch of times.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Oh, hopefully maybe Zoom didn't pick that up. But so they have, you know, they do smoothies and stuff like that. But they always have like seasonal things. And right now they have this Honeycrisp Bliss smoothie. And when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, it's fall. It's going to be like, you know, spicy. And I mean, which I like, I just don't know if I'm ready for that. But I tried it a couple weeks ago. It's got Honeycrisp apple, strawberries, orange juice, honey, and a dash of your favorite fall spices, which is basically pumpkin. It is so good.
I can't stop thinking about it. I don't think it's Patterson's, but somebody puts out just a Honeycrisp cider in the fall that I've found at Heinen's before. Like it's made just with Honeycrisp apples, if that's your fave.
I like apples. I don't know that I judge my apples.
I love apples. Apples are good. Really good.
Yeah. Apples are great. I had something just slipped my mind. I had a question for you.
Some just slipped my mind too. When we were talking, I was thinking of something I wanted to add when we had a break, and now it's gone from me again.
So when you were up in the mountains, is your house done?
No, we're being held hostage by our HVAC contractor person, not contractor, sub. We can't put floors in until the HVAC is complete because of the humidity and stuff out there. So, and this guy, this place we are in the mountains is pretty remote, and a lot of subs just hate going there, right? It's a long drive. If you run out of materials, you can't just run out to grab some more. So it's just every month we keep hearing one more month, we'll get this done. So so we just need floors and then finishing touches, appliances, throw a bed in there and we can call it a cabin.
So where are you still staying like at the same Airbnb? Do you always get the same one?
We typically get the same one because it's a real close walk from ours, but this time we stayed somewhere a little different, still in the same mountain development, just not walking distance.
Did you go any, so how far away is that from where your grandkids are?
About close to 3 hours.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I didn't realize. So is it kind of on the way?
No.
Is it past?
It's in between the kids. Like we have one kid in Charlotte and one in Apex. And this is in Ferguson, which is kind of, I guess, close to, if you've heard of Boone or Blowing Rock or Wilkesboro. And so it's like 2 hours for this one to come and 3 hours for this one to come. So it's a good landing pad for everybody so that it's not a huge trip for anybody.
Got it.
Yeah.
You got to have any plans to go anywhere else anytime soon?
No. Well, yes. Still at Carolina next week, actually. We're going to South Carolina to Jeff's brother and sister-in-law, Bob and Lisa. Every couple of years or so, we go visit them. They've retired in South Carolina on a really cool spot called Dautau Island, which is kind of a golf community, and it's near Beaufort, South Carolina. Just great shrimp and shopping and water and beach. And gosh, we used to see them a lot because they lived in Chicago area when all the kids were growing up. But now their four kids are all grown and gone, married with kids, some of them, and scattered across the country. So that happens so fast. And so we don't get to see them as often. So we're looking forward to this one too. But after that, yeah, nowhere exotic besides this mountain situation. Our kids just went to the coolest spot in Jamaica while we were babysitting. They're like this resort with these almost like caves.
Oh.
Where they just stepped out their window and jumped off a cliff 30 feet into the water. I'll have to send you some videos. It was really next level.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah. It's really, really different.
I jumped off a cliff in Jamaica at some restaurant.
Really?
That was fun. Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I like to do stuff like that. I was really scared though. It took me a moment. And then when
they did it a bunch of times. I think Brad did it more. Kathleen told me the first time it was a little bit of a neti pot up the nose. You know, they stepped off and went straight in like a pencil. And then she did have a little bit of a smack on her thighs from, you know, if you hit at the wrong angle and right. It's really high up. But they really seemed to enjoy it. I think it was unexpected. I don't know if they knew they'd be doing all that fun stuff.
Yeah, no, that's great. Jamaica, we went to Jamaica like probably about 10 years ago, I would guess. It was a nice vacation. I don't know that Jamaica's not on the top of my list of places I want to go back to.
Yeah. I've never been. Jeff has been, believe it or not, on business a couple times. He has either a client or partner. So rather than the resort experience, he was able to be with locals.
And that's great.
So that's interesting to get some local food and stuff like that. Talking about places that have, you know, a beautiful resort vacation area, but then a lot of, you know, big disparity, a lot of crime and poverty right around it.
Right.
I was writing a letter to, I sponsor a child from an organization called Compassion International, and she's from Bolivia. And now they make it easier than it used to be. You can certainly write paper letters, but they also have a website where you can write your letter and you can attach photos. So I was attaching photos, just one of Jackson and one of Kennedy, to show her. And it suddenly struck me, you know, they send me pictures of her as well. And here's me trying to send a picture and crop out the first world accoutrements, what we're holding, the equipment, the kids, you know, there was karate, gymnastics, baseball, iPads, all the things, which is not to say right or wrong, but makes you think,
right?
What does this little girl look at a picture and see in the background?
Right. No wonder why you're making fun of me for that water bottle.
Right. I'm a little affected right now in the other way, but no judgment, Joyce.
No judgment, no bias.
It just easily runs away with us, doesn't it?
It really does.
I mean, I know when I was working, all of a sudden, which again has been a dozen years ago, but all of a sudden it seemed okay to me to explore a Coach briefcase and a different vehicle even than I was driving without it giving me pause at all. And like later, I'm like, wow, it just happens. You get swept along in the stuff.
Yeah. When I was in when I still had my job in corporate America, my next car was going to be this Mercedes that I fell in love with. That's kind of like a little bit bigger. I can't remember what it was called, but a little bit bigger than my Mini Cooper Countryman. Like it, but it was small for like a small Mercedes, SUV.
Yeah,
sporty,
yeah.
But someone in our Columbus office had a Mercedes and it was in for service, and they gave him one of these for his loaner. Mm-hmm. And I drove it just around like the, I just drove it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, it just seemed like such a, as far as cars go and as far as I go, like a logical step for me. And I think back to that. And when I see them, and I mean, I still think they're really cool cars, mm-hmm. but I'm like, I didn't really, I'm going to throw my dogs in there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It wasn't ridiculously expensive, but it was more than a Mini Cooper.
And with leasing, you know, things are affordable. It doesn't mean somebody's spent a boatload of money. But I used to say I deserve a Mercedes-Benz because MB. Also used to say I deserve big diamonds because it's my birthstone. Neither of those have happened.
Well, it's funny you say like leases and whatever, like you still have to pay for stuff, right? Like, do leases cover tires and oil changes and all the things?
I don't know, because I own my, Volkswagen now. It's, you know, 8 or 9 years old. Jeff leased his most recent. And I mean, I guess that's usually like 2 years. So it probably covers like oil changes and stuff. But I would imagine when it's time for brakes and tires and stuff, you're either out of your lease. Wait, I'm going to run and grab this shirt that I was just thinking of that I found. Hold on. I had it on yesterday.
Can't wait to see it.
I don't know if I told you, but I've got Maya here on the floor. I'm dog sitting this week.
Oh, she's so mellow.
She's mellow, but she's been playing this morning, playful and wonderful. So I pulled this out of the hamper because I had it on yesterday. Last time I got an oil change, I saw this on a Volkswagen employee and asked if I could buy one, and he directed me to the website. Can you see it?
Oh, Save the Stick. Yeah. You told me about that.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, that's cool.
Save the Stick with the 6-speed. So that's why I still have, and it's funny driving, the kids, you know, have SUVs, of course, or trucks. Jeff has a truck, and I drove home from North Carolina by myself because he had to continue on, to go to a client. I got in my car yesterday and legit felt like I was sitting on the floor. I'm like, this car not only feels small and old, and it's, I felt like my dad all of a sudden, but still fun.
I was over at my brother's house last Thursday, and I've been taking my niece to Kid Fit, which is CrossFit for kids. And she does it once a week, where my sister-in-law does CrossFit. And sometimes I take, like, they have this class called Pulse. So it's kind of like a, kind of like a HIIT workout, but I think it's a really cool thing to do while she does Kid Fit. Like, I think it sets good example, you know, and like my sister-in-law doing, like, it's a cool thing to do with her. So
it is, it's like you want it on their radar that exercise and fitness is a thing that, that should be part of your day, because at some point it's going to be. And if you're like me and it ends up not being on your radar till you're, you know, almost 30 years old, then you're behind the eight ball. Jackson and I did 25 pushups every morning while I was there.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I did girl pushups, but.
Well, we took my car to Kid Fit, and then she needed new glasses. Like, they needed to order new glasses. So the plan was always like, after Kid Fit, we're going to Costco. And so we went home, and then my brother was like, all right, let's go to Costco. Cause you know, they close at 8:30, not that it was 8:30, but like, it just needed to happen. I think it was, well, Kid Fit goes till 6:00. So it was probably like 6:15. But she still needed to eat and do all the things. So he's like, let's just run up there, get this done. And so
get her done.
Yeah, we were coming out of the house. My sister-in-law was at soccer with my nephew. And I go, you want to take my car? And he's like, yeah. So I threw it. Well, I didn't throw him the keys because you don't need the keys. But Adelaide jumped back in the back seat, and she was laughing so hard because my brother's, I don't know, 6'1" maybe. And she's like, he's Mini not going to fit. And she was literally like laughing from her belly, you know, and I opened up the sunroof and she's like, his head's going to stick out and whatever. It was really, really cute. And then of course my car's really fun to drive. So he was zooming.
There was a period of time when my mother-in-law, Patty, who's a tiny little petite Irish gal, had a Volkswagen Bug. This was, I'm sure, 15 years ago or something. And my father-in-law, 6'1", big guy, and he just hated that car. Because there were times, of course, I mean, he had his own car, but there were times that they would be together and he would end up driving that car. And it looked hilarious. Adelaide would have loved that, because that car actually looks pretty girly, the second version of the Volkswagen Bug.
Yeah.
I feel like the first one, the Herbie the Love Bug era, they were a little more masculine, but
yeah.
Now they're gone again.
Did you on your drive home all by yourself, did you listen to any podcasts?
I did. I looked forward to sunroof open, windows down, music blaring, solo road trip. Like I was just foaming at the mouth waiting for that. Well, of course it rained for three states instead. So I couldn't do that, but that was okay. I was like, okay, gray, foggy, rainy. Let's listen to some podcasts, which I hadn't done forever. So I just started to scroll through and caught up one by one on a few. Erin Andrews was on two different ones. I think because she has a book out, she was on the Brooke Shields, What Next, or What Now is the name of Brooke Shields' podcast. Mm-hmm. And then she was also on, I can't remember which other one she was on. I listened to Mel Robbins.
Oh.
Which I like a lot. But as I was scrolling through, the title of one episode of hers was, "If you listen to only one podcast today." So I'm like, okay, I'll bite. I just wrote about this yesterday, actually, because it affected me so much. All the platitudes that we know about life, the hourglass, you know, the sand disappearing. She said it differently. She was talking about trying to motivate yourself, whatever your dreams are. A, nobody gives a shit what you're doing.
Right.
You think, what if, what if, what if? Nobody gives a shit. Just do what you're going to do. They're busy worrying about them. And here's what she said. Your life is a melting ice cube.
Oh.
And I was like, damn. Damn. Period. Melting ice cube. Not an ice cube tray to be found. Not a...
Right.
Automatic ice cube maker. It is melting and you can't get it back. So
you're crying in the fog.
And she's got a way of, she's like, you, I'm talking to you. And I'm like, okay, Mel, I get it. Yeah. I like her a lot.
I like Mel. Robbins.
I listened to our, We Can Do Hard Things, the episode with, is her first name Megan Rapinoe, soccer player.
Yeah. Was that before the World Cup or after?
It was, I think it was recorded before.
Yeah.
Because the reason I listen is I wanted to hear her and Abby talk about after, you know, after some stuff went on. It's astounding that I even know anything about it, but I did watch a little bit of that because of Abby. She's just fun to listen to and watch on social media, enjoy the soccer, as Glennon calls it. I listened to my Jesus Calling. I listened to You and Jamie with Joe Calicovo.
Calicovo. You had to learn that.
Eventually I got to Ohio. This never happens. Usually when we get to Ohio, the sky darkens, the temperature drops, and we start to hate life again. But this time when I got to Ohio, it became blue and warm, and I did open the sunroof and enjoy some music for the last couple of hours of the trip.
How did you like our interview with Joe?
You know, it was interesting. It was really interesting to listen to. It would have been different if I was in the conversation. So I'm glad I wasn't, right? It was nice for me to step out and listen to other people talk about like religion and faith and, I mean, just cosmic fun shit. It sounds like Joe's just a pothead talking to you, and he may or may not. I know he and Jamie both talked about plant medicines. And so I like that conversation too. We're eschewing pharmaceuticals now for plant medicines. We've done it for years with alcohol too. At the same time, are we still just medicating our way through the day? I don't know. And I'm not calling Joe a pothead. I'm saying his fun young demeanor is like, gave me Spicoli vibes. Like, yeah, dude. And then since he acknowledged and talked about it, I
can't see you again. It says, it says Miss Phone. Oh, there you go.
There we are. Did you didn't just text me, did you?
No.
Okay. Just making sure I wasn't missing anything.
Yeah, I don't think that, I mean, I don't know, but I don't think Joe's medicating through the whole day. I think he does it purposefully most of the time. Mm-hmm.
And actually his, I don't know if you remember, his actual statement was the difference between me and everybody, not everybody, but people just smoking pot is the intention.
Yeah.
Which also, you know, there's that beautiful time of life in your early 20s. When you do know, you know stuff, and later you probably find out maybe you didn't know it, but it's beautiful, you know.
You know stuff, but you don't have the experience. Yet. Yeah, you know what I mean.
But to be purposely so positive and loving, yes, is just wonderful and refreshing. Like,
right.
And he's very astute. I mean, I loved how he said, "I'd love to just tell everybody I love you," but like, it's a little creepy and weird because it's sexual because I'm 20 something years old, you know? So, I mean, right. It's really, I loved it. It was good.
I have been on a kind of a bit of a podcast hiatus. I feel like I've been loading myself up with so much information lately. Like the books that I've been listening to and the podcasts I've been reading have all been like information, you know, mm-hmm. And every once in a while I need to like, this is where My Favorite Murder just kind of like breaks that for me so I can,
yeah,
like not think and just enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, so yeah, like zoning out and just escapism. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm really enjoying our new book club book, which is, what's it called?
I just ordered it. I haven't started it either. Something with Grace.
Ordinary Grace by William Ordinary Kent Grace. Kruger. Yeah, so it looks like I'm almost halfway through it. It's a good book, but it's good. It like personally, it's just been nice to listen to a story. Mm-hmm. But I've been, so I like to listen to The Doctor's Pharmacy with mm-hmm. Dr. Mark Hyman, and Cynthia Thurlow was on his podcast, and she's I'm not exactly sure what her credential. She's a doctor, but I'm not exactly sure of what. But she was talking about women's health and intermittent fasting. And like, it was really sort of fascinating because she was very, she was surprised to find when she got to a certain age that there wasn't a lot of information available. So, meaning like we have studied, we, not me, but we've studied a lot about women in their reproductive years and then women in menopause and beyond, but not in that perimenopause phase. And so she is a nurse practitioner and functional nutritionist. And so she just kind of dove hard into it to like learn about it. And I'm pretty sure that's where I am. So, and I'm saying I'm pretty sure because I don't normally go to the doctor, mm-hmm. But you know, I can identify with a lot of the things she talks about. So, I got her book and it's called The Intermittent Fasting. What is it? I'm trying to pull it up as I'm, yeah, her book here. as I'm talking and my computer, of course, intermittent fasting transformation. And it's so good that I bought it so that I could have it, you know.
Yeah.
But I've been intermittent.
Look back on it, right in it.
Yeah. I've been intermittent fasting now for almost 2 weeks. So I've been
doing it. Feel good?
It's not only does it feel good, it's so easy. I mean, mm-hmm. like it's easier than I thought it would be because.
Especially because you're busy.
Because, yeah, it kind of gives me one less thing to worry about. And yeah. because what I was worried about is I do like to eat in the morning. And mm-hmm. so if I gave like for the 16-8 fasting is like a real good one to follow for anybody, but obviously like right. you can get into it and figure out what's best for mm-hmm. you. But so I've been, my 8-hour eating window is like 11 to 7 for the most part. Like James intermittent fasts too, but he usually starts eating at like 2. So he'll eat when he comes home. Like last night was Monday, and he, you know, he teaches a couple of classes in Strongsville. So he doesn't get home till like 9 and he'll cook. And, you know, I like to eat early. I don't necessarily like to eat late. Yeah. You're making a face. Like,
yeah.
And that's not so great for you either. I think she says, you should be done eating 2 hours before you go to bed at minimum.
Go to bed. Yeah.
Yeah. And so anyhow, that was my concern. Like, am I going to be starving up until 11 o'clock? And I drink coffee. Like, you're allowed to drink coffee. And there are certain things that don't break the fast. Like, I can do lemon water, and like, you can read all about this, but, it's been pretty easy. And I'm realizing that when it comes time to eat, there's something about the fasting that like, I don't want to eat crap.
You crave healthy stuff. Exactly. It's such a healthy, and for anybody that's put off by the idea or the buzzword of intermittent fasting, I started doing it, and I don't do it all the time because like the last 2 weeks when I was eating nothing but the crust off somebody else's right. peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, no, there was no intermittent fasting. And believe me, I felt it. But I started unknowingly intermittent fasting by not letting myself eat after 6 or 7 p.m. So depending on what time you get up in the morning, you're already probably fasting for at least 12 exactly. hours without mm-hmm. even blinking. And, you know, I've said it before, I always fast on Mondays. Last thing I eat is Sunday night before I go to bed, later than I'd usually eat. And then here it is Tuesday at 9 something. I haven't eaten yet since Sunday night. Do I sound hangry? Because I'm not a bit. I wake up Tuesdays full of energy and in a great mood versus waking up feeling sluggish. And of course, because there's emotional baggage, when I eat badly, I wake up like, you know, a crack whore in shame, which is silly, but also just physically, you feel better. Yeah.
Well, it's weird too, because like sometimes when 11 o'clock rolls around, I'm not hungry. And like, so like last Tuesday we had teacher training at 11 and I was just going to eat a banana at 11. Like I brought a banana and I totally forgot.
Best picture of you that I'm going to send you to attach to this podcast.
The banana.
A banana behind the desk in Strongsville. It's obscene and I love it.
But I forgot about it. And I wasn't done with teacher training, I think until 2:30, something like that. And I hadn't eaten yet. And I still wasn't hungry. Like, I feel like there's this window sometimes where I am hungry at 11, but I'm mm-hmm. not in the right place to eat, or I'm, you know, besides grabbing something crappy. But then you get over that. And then I'm like, oh, I can just not eat until whatever. And then I think I need to eat. Like, I need to right. put something good in my body before.
Yes, for fuel. It's fuel. And you don't want to then binge later. But the other thing that surprises me is, like, you think of hunger, like your stomach growls and stuff. That doesn't happen with this.
No.
Like, I never have a growling stomach or a, you know, it's weird almost.
You're never dying to get right. something in your mouth. Mm. So yeah, I've been intermittent fasting for about 2 weeks and it's been a lot easier than I thought. But anyhow, this book that she has, I just found it's, I found it so informative, and I don't know, it's just kind of shifting everything for me. And
is autophagy discussed in her book?
Yeah. So I don't know. It's encouraging me to like just do more healthy things, I guess. And it's like I said, the intermittent fasting has kind of like almost organized my eating in a way that I'd stress about it less. And I didn't even really know that I was stressing about it.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like there's no big rules or anything. Eat what you're hungry for, eat what works for you. But you don't have to dwell on it all so much because it's either time or it's not.
And but so anyhow, I listened to her book and then I bought it, and I was just kind of loading up with all this just information. You know, I listened to Andrew Huberman's podcast, and he has a mental health series going on, and I found that really fascinating. But his podcasts are like a couple of hours each and all just like so scientific, and they're just deep dives, and I needed a break.
Yeah. I needed some escapism. So I would watch in bed at night on the laptop, a Netflix series called Virgin River came back, with a new, season, and then another Netflix show called Echoes, which was, I don't know, maybe 8 episodes or something, but really good too. It's about these twin sisters who switch identities.
Oh,
so yeah, some of that escapism is just really good. That's what I used to say about the guilty pleasure of the Housewives shows on Bravo. Like people are like, how can you watch that shit? I'm like, well, it is entertainment, period.
Trevor Hall came out with a new album.
Well, congratulations. What are you doing to celebrate?
Listening to it. It's pretty good.
I follow now your Intentional Ink. Her name is escaping me right now.
Kristen.
And she posts her beautiful artwork, her beautiful tats. And quite often there's a Trevor Hall connection there.
Yeah.
Whatever customer she's working on.
Yeah. Somebody
hasn't written back to you.
No. Linda Halliday sent me a podcast with him on it. It was unusual to get this from her. You know, I don't hear from Linda very often. I don't see her very often. And she was like, hey, I thought I'd share this with you, but you've probably heard it. And I hadn't. It was Trevor Hall on Danica Patrick's podcast like years ago.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it's October 3rd, 2019. So pre-pandemic and everything. It's actually really interesting. It's interesting. I was like, how did Trevor Hall end up on Danica Patrick's podcast?
Mm-hmm. Was she a fan?
Yeah. Oh, huge fan. One of her friends turned her on to him, and then that was that. But, I don't know how they met or why they're friends or, you know, the whole thing, but she does yoga. He does yoga. Like it was just very interesting to listen to, but there was a point where they were talking about their yoga experiences, and I'm really, really summarizing. And she said something like, Shavasana is never long enough. And he kind of chuckled, you know, and said, yeah, you're right. And she said, you know, for all the hard work that we do in a yoga class, like I can't get to anything good in a 5-minute Shavasana, because as soon as I get there, I'm going through my to-do list and everything else. But once that's exhausted, that's where you get into the good stuff. And usually that's when you come out of Shavasana in a typical hour yoga class. And I'm paraphrasing and putting some of my thoughts into that, but it really affected me to where I was like, oh yeah. And I try really hard to, like in my 75-minute classes, I shoot for a 12-minute Shavasana, and I kind of am okay with 10, you know, so I give myself a big goal, but give myself an acceptable range so that I make sure to, you know, to give everybody a decent Shavasana. In my 60-minute classes, I shoot for a 10-minute Shavasana and I'm okay with 8. And I know that sometimes it ends up being like 7 or 6, but I really try hard for 8. But I like her saying that made so much sense. And I knew this, right? Like we know this, but it's not the initial first couple minutes. Cause I always tell teacher trainees, like the first 4 minutes, nobody budges. Everybody's good. And then at about 4 minutes, people start to get fidgety and
antsy. That's what I was just going to ask you is like, especially in the hot power classes, a lot of them are starting to, they're starting to tap their fingers, starting to, you know.
But that's when that's the work,
mm-hmm.
right? That's where it gets good. And so I just really appreciated her saying that. So now I'm following the Danica Patrick podcast.
Mm. I'll have to follow that one too. I like her.
I'll send you this one specifically because I thought it was full of really good information. So on that and travel and everything else, I mentioned this to you in person or maybe in the podcast, but because I feel like I never see you in person.
It's true.
But
3 minutes on Saturday mornings.
Trevor Hall is doing this this band called Dispatch, which I should know, I guess, because I do know some of their songs. They kind of run this music sort of, it's not a festival, but it's a weekend called Only the Wild Ones. And they're doing like a Thursday through
and
Monday
you're a wild
or
one.
Tuesday in Mexico at this resort, really nice resort. And James and I have sort of talked about it. Like Trevor Hall's there and G Love and like all these artists that like we would really enjoy the music all weekend. But then it's just kind of like I realized that I like liking music. I don't like being a fan. I don't like that feeling of like, I don't know.
What
do you mean? I don't need to know his favorite color.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I get what you're saying. You like his music and you want to be part of the music experience, but you don't want to like dwell on this person.
Yes. And I'm not just talking about Trevor Hall, but obviously he's my favorite, but like Dave Matthews and like, I could name, you know, like a bazillion artists.
But like I said that about Lori McKenna, when we had such good seats to see her, Jeff's like, why aren't we sitting over in the middle? And I'm like, I'm afraid to make eye contact. Like, I don't want to penetrate that bubble.
Yes. And so anyhow, James and I, this is really bizarre. I convinced him. So both dogs are behind me. I apologize for this international podcast audience.
Okay. I've got one behind me too.
But
I've
convinced James an early Saturday evening to take a stroll in the PARK.
Mm-hmm.
I have to watch my cadence too, because they understand.
Now you probably can't, James probably can't spell that word. So you probably have to actually say it out loud for James, right?
Probably. Yeah. But we did that and it was awesome. It was really, really nice. We were probably there for 45 minutes to an hour. And then we're driving home in his truck. All I had on me were poop bags and a phone.
There's a country song in there somewhere.
Yeah. He turned instead of going straight to our house. And he's like, where are we going? And he's like, surprise. So he just wanted to stop in and get a drink. It was Saturday night, you know, and
woo-hoo!
I didn't have my purse. I had no makeup.
Did you at least take the poop in and use somebody's trash can rather than leave it in the truck?
I put it in the trash can in the park.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, excellent.
Yeah. But anyhow, in this small or short bar crawl trip, we decided to go to Mexico for the Only the Wild Ones weekend.
Well, listen, I rolled my eyes when I was listening to your podcast with Jamie and Joe. I think it was the one with Joe. And you said Trevor Hall's coming to Mexico. And I think the quote is, and I'm saying right here, I'm not going to see Trevor Hall in Mexico. And I, in my car, rolled my eyes and I was like, why is she saying this out loud? We all know there's a possibility that she's going to go see Trevor Hall in Mexico. Why is she kidding herself? And now here we are. Yesterday on your text, we brought that up and I was like, oh, here we go. And now you're telling me it's on the table.
So you know how Jamie jokes and says the calls the fans of the Village People.
Yes.
The group is called the Villagers.
He actually YMCA. Yeah,
he explains that on that podcast with Danica Patrick. So we decided like that would be a true like vacation that we probably need. And we know that we would enjoy the music and it's not, I mean, I'm sure there's partying going on, but it's not like this huge party crowd. That's not the kind of fans that these groups, right. Like, it's not going to be like a 24-hour alcohol fueled festival. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be that way for some people, but I just like, I'm sure there's going to be, and you can do your own things, you know, like it's a resort, so you can do your own excursions and things like that. And so we just decided to do it. And
yeah, it's like kind of the best of both worlds. It's one of your little music jaunts, but it also is an actual vacation with excursions.
Longer than a 24-hour trip that Frontier can't screw up kind of thing. Well, I'm sure they could if we book through them.
If you let them.
If we let them, they will screw it up. And so I also thought, well, this is, I Googled how many days away is this festival, and it was 75. And I was like, I'm not going to drink for 75 days. And I'm going to like, just take this time to like do things that I've been meaning to do. And whether that's like, take better care of my skin with all these freaking masks and products I have that I never have time for, or to get stuff done at the house that it's always like, we need to do this, we're going to do this, and we don't. Like, it's just making those things happen. But I like that time frame. Like, I have 75 days, and I feel like if I get some of those things done, then I'll just really feel sort of like I maybe earned and earn isn't the right word. I know I deserve a vacation. It's not that, but like, I just will feel good about it.
Well, you'll enjoy it more because you won't be feeling like, oh,
yeah,
this time, you know, there's this, well, there's that. Yeah.
And I'm that person that has to clean the house completely thoroughly before I go on vacation. Are you like that at all?
No, but here's why. The girl who we love, Brenda, who cleans for my mom, I have her come to my house just a few times a year.
Yeah.
And it's when I'm out of town. So I just had her come.
Oh,
and we were
that's
gone
really
for two
smart.
Weeks.
Yeah,
it is. Cause you come home and it couldn't have been better for me. Cause Jeff wasn't even home with me. So I came home alone.
Yeah.
Fresh sheets on my bed, fresh vacuum lines in the carpet, everything clean and shining and put away.
That's awesome.
And I didn't even have to leave to feed myself because I had fresh frozen from Boston, where Mary Siskovic was recently. And she sent me home the best clam chowder she had ever had and a Yingling pumpkin lager when I got home in my clean house that night. And then I went to bed feeling excellent.
That is awesome.
So I recommend you do that rather than you having to do all the work, have somebody sweep in and take care of it for you.
I don't think I could do that because again, we have three adults, a toddler and two dogs, and like one is a lot.
This wonderful Brenda is actually, I've known her my whole life. She went to St. Bart's with us and she's lives really nearby and she's done my mom's hair for years. She does that as well. And, but she's like an extra daughter, almost like she'll help my mom. In fact, just this very time, my mom texted me, I was out of town. She goes, Brenda said to me, have you ever thought of pulling up the carpeting in that middle bedroom? It's probably beautiful hardwood underneath. And my mom said, huh, I don't know. She said an hour later, that carpet was out of that room. Brenda tore up, ripped up, rolled up.
Oh my gosh.
Out, right? And same with me, like a year ago when she was here, she was like, do you mind if I rearrange that middle bedroom and put the bed over? I'm like, listen, have at it, do what you want to do. And she was right. It looks better her way. So it's like, awesome. It's like a family member. My point, like, I understand you can't have somebody come in and clean your house with all of your ridiculousness.
And like right now it's not just cleaning. Like there's a lot of things
put away. Well,
it's always kind of a mess, but there's a lot of things that are just awaiting bigger change. Like again, we need to finish the basement floor so that we can move our office down there, and like, and it'll be really nice, but yeah. then we can move Ashley and Alina up here. So, you know what I mean? Like, there's just all of that where it's like, I'm not going to put all the work into this when
right.
I know
and there's even stuff out that you use stuff out on your desk and everything. You can't really clean all that off. So somebody can clean right now. That's like very day-to-day stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so anyhow, there's that. And, but I don't know that we're going to go see Trevor Hall. I don't know that we're going to actually go to Mexico. We decided on it, kind of. And then once you know, a couple of days went by, it's like, James wants to go to Pensacola for Christmas to spend Christmas with his dad. And with Ashley and Alina, and it just might be too much. And this one's easy to like, this is a little bit of an indulgence. Mm-hmm. So, I don't really know that it's going to happen. It just kind of seems dumb too. It's like,
but remember the melting ice cube.
I know, but we're also, you know, trying, we keep thinking about selling our house and buying a new one. And you know, that costs money. It costs money to take the family to Pensacola. It costs money to be away from the studio. It's all of that. And it's not just the money, it's the work too, of like, mm-hmm. making sure everything's taken care of. And so I don't really know that, I mean, there's still a possibility, but I'm still keeping that 75 days.
Yeah.
And like, I was scrolling through the website for this weekend. And then it made me feel silly again, like that fan mentality. Mm-hmm. There's all kind of, it seems like it could be really fun, but like they're having special things. So like, let me read you some of them. A limbo contest, tequila tasting, guided meditation with Trevor Hall.
Which, I'm going to miss that.
I know. Every morning, start your morning with a meditation guided by Trevor Hall. Take pause to embrace our surroundings, find your zen, and set an intention for the rest of the day. That one I don't feel silly about, but name that tune, ask the artist, paint and sip.
I would love to play name that tune, except cornhole tournament tunes.
And then there's celebrity bartending for charity. And I don't know, that one I was just like, well, that would be kind of cool to get a drink from Trevor Hall or G Love. And then I was like, yeah, I don't want to do that.
I think, though, that this is kind of a rare opportunity to mix things up. Like, when are you ever going to do that stuff again? You'll go on another vacation, a resort vacation or something, sure. You'll go to another concert or music festival, sure. But this might be actually a good opportunity to like check two boxes with less money, less travel time, less work, because they're all there grouped together for you.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. You know how I like to book things 2 days in advance.
I know. That's great though. It's like gives it a fun little spontaneous adventure feeling.
Well, this one, I know that they're only down to, I don't know how many rooms, but they're definitely, getting down to a couple of rooms. Like the real nice rooms are, I mean, they're all real nice, but like the ocean view isn't available anymore. It's just the tropical view, but the resort on its own without this festival is like a really nice resort. It's all inclusive and everything. So I'm sure that their tropical garden view is just lovely.
Mm-hmm, right. And,
so I don't know.
Maybe a brick wall.
Again, well, yeah, that we had that in New York, but I feel like that is, we had a window. But the window basically looked at a brick wall. Mm-hmm. Isn't that typical New York?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a funny, I follow on Instagram this comedian, Pete Lee. And he played a little clip of, he was in New York and he said, I've just got one question for you New Yorkers. It's like, why do you put up with this? He goes, I remember the first time I was here. And again, I'm paraphrasing. He goes, I saw all this like trash in bags, like it's trash day, fermenting on the sidewalk. And it was right next to this fruit stand. And I thought, oh my God, that ain't right. Like, he goes, but it is right. It's the way things are here. And it didn't affect the fruit stand or people buying fruit at the fruit stand. This is just New York, which New Yorkers love.
Yeah. James and I talked about that when we were there last year. Like, would you want to live here? And I was like, yeah, why not? The thing that I would miss the most is a yard for the dogs. But lots of people have dogs and it forces you to walk more.
It does. But there's, I would miss the sunlight because
yeah,
there's just so many tall buildings that even on a sunny day, you're just always in shade. So that would be a deal breaker for me, unless, you know, I had a penthouse somewhere, which I just don't see happening.
And I would come and visit you. Mm. Yeah, I think it would be fun to live there.
There's so many places I say that about. Like, Jeff laughs at me. It would be fun to live here for a month or for 3 months.
Right.
New York, New Orleans, even Little Italy and Cleveland. Whenever I'm down there for the feast,
yeah,
it's like, how fun that these people are standing out on their second level porch watching this happen in the streets.
I've never been to the feast.
Oh my gosh, you have to. It's the best people watching ever.
Is it?
Yes.
I mean, oh, I've been to Little Italy a handful of times. I haven't spent a ton of time there.
When it's full, like, you know, on the Saturday night or whenever, it is just so full. It's just elbow to elbow people. There's, you know, all the food stands in the streets. There's bocce ball. There's games and stuff in the church lot. And like any other ethnic, you know, pride, if you have a Greek festival or Irish festival, these Italian girls bring it. They bring it. They bring it with the outfits and the makeup and the, you know, and there's a band and there's an old Italian lady singing, and it's just fabulous. The people watching is amazing. A lot of people have their dogs, which is always annoying because it's so, so packed. The dogs are just, they have to be filled with anxiety and hot and getting stepped on. It's like just a constant parade.
Do you know that Little Italy kind of became Little Italy because of Lakeview Cemetery?
That's where I go after I visit Lakeview Cemetery. I have lunch in Little Italy.
Do you visit Lakeview Cemetery?
I've only gone a couple times with my friend Steph, who takes me on all these adventures. Have you? It's just a fun place to walk around.
We get married there.
Oh, I didn't know that. How did I not know that?
I think you did. We got married in the Wade Memorial Chapel.
Oh, I guess. I never thought of it.
But it's the Italian Masons, like all the masonry work in.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
I did read that.
And yeah, that's kind of how that came about, because mm-hmm. cemeteries were a really big deal. There was a movement, I guess, at the turn of the century, the 20th century.
Yeah, that would have been the 20th.
Because typically cemeteries were in like the churchyard.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it was like people didn't have TVs, right? So they would go to the cemetery on Sundays. Or I think at some point Lakeview got so popular that they were charging admission on the weekends.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
No.
That is a fascinating cemetery. If you ever can do like a tour.
Yeah.
You know, like there are some very interesting stories about Lakeview.
Interesting
cemetery.
Stories and famous people and.
Yeah, President Garfield is that whole thing was pretty interesting too. Have you ever been to his memorial? It's massive. It looks like a small church.
Yeah, yeah.
They let us up all the way on the balcony on our wedding day. Like, they don't usually let people up there. Yeah. We have a photo of like the skyline of Cleveland behind us.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. I don't know how did we get here? We went from only the wildlands in Mexico to Little Italy.
Yeah,
I know. Because I've never been to the feast. Yeah.
And it would be, how there's places that you'd want to live, but only for a few months to get the local flavor.
Would you ever want to live in Europe?
Temporarily, sure. Yeah. I mean, I've only been to like Ireland and Italy, but Oh my gosh, yeah. It's just different. It's beautiful and so different. I mean, we grow up in the United States, you know, world superpower, but we're like a toddler compared with these other countries. Like we're so young as a country that it is truly amazing what we have achieved as a nation. But yeah, you know, the architecture and the food and just, and Ireland's great for cemeteries, you know. We walked around a lot of cemeteries.
Cemetery fix.
Yeah.
Cemetery obsession, I should say.
Yeah. Does your family visit cemetery?
No.
My family does not, or in at least these last couple of generations haven't. And I don't think I ever would. And so now I feel like it's kind of, I don't understand why we even have cemeteries really. I mean, I know we have to.
Was your dad buried?
Yeah. He's at Holy Cross Cemetery with, and actually my family's there. I mean, we joke, my dad's right by a bathroom, so that's convenient. But
Holy Cross, is that on Brook Park Road or in Brook Park? Okay. Oh, so super close.
Yeah, super close. My grandparents are there. Our neighbors are there. My sister Judy's baby is there in the same plot with our grandfather, which is wonderful when you have to bury an infant. But we don't, it's funny, my mom and Eleanor go now a couple times a year to the cemetery to see Happ and George, which cracks me up because my dad would completely roll his eyes and be like, did you really buy a cross and flowers to put on my grave? That's ridiculous. But it's makes them feel good now.
My grandparents on my dad's side lived in Pennsylvania in this little, I don't even know if it's a township called Rouse Run.
Hmm.
But they didn't live there. Like they lived there when I knew them, you know, that wasn't, I think that was where my grandma was from, but they had lived in other places. They lived in Cleveland. My dad grew up in Cleveland. Rouse Run is an unincorporated community and census designated place in Redstone Township, Fayette County, Pennsylvania. So it seems like it's
whatever that means.
Yes.
Like there should be a reality show from there.
And there is, I'm not sure where my grandparents are buried, but it's somewhere around there. And mm-hmm. I think other family members are either buried in the same cemetery or near there, but it's so small that I can't really tell you where they're at. But when we would go visit my grandparents a couple times a year, I know that we would go to a cemetery at least once a year. And then my grandma, my mom's mom, and eventually my mom's dad were buried in that cemetery. I think it's All Saints. Is that All Saints in like Sagamore? I might be wrong.
There's something else east.
And I remember, it's in Northfield, actually. I remember I was a young adult when my grandma died, and I would go see her, or I would go to the cemetery and really see her occasionally. And then after my grandpa died, I don't think I've ever been there again. And so a few weeks or months ago, sometime this summer, it was a Saturday. James and I had to go to the Brecksville studio. We were there for teacher training or something. And then we got lunch together and I went to Costco and he went home. And there's a Costco in Boston Heights. So it's only like, it's actually a really beautiful drive from, the Brecksville studio down Snowville and Riverview and over by Brandywine and all that. So, and it's fun in my car because there's lots of twisty turns, you know.
Yep. Done it.
But we had gone to Beyond Juicery. And so I was getting there from a different direction. I went down 82 through Brecksville to Riverview Road. I think Riverview Road. Anyhow, I ended up, or maybe I was just following GPS, but I ended up passing the cemetery. And like, I just got this like feeling of, oh my gosh, I haven't even thought about going to visit my grandma at the cemetery in so long. And then, I was like, should I stop to visit my grandma? It was this whole mental thing, you know, it's not that I don't think about my grandma. I certainly do, but it was a bit of a throwback. I felt some guilt and I didn't stop because I think it was at a point where like I just needed to get to Costco before it closed.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that
but
late.
But just had that same thing as if you would have passed your grandma's street if she was alive, like, oh, I don't really have time for this, but I feel a little guilty. I'm passing by her street.
Yeah.
It's funny that you should bring up Pennsylvania. My husband, Jeff, was born in Pennsylvania, didn't live there for long, but his family was from a little town called Manassas, a mill town, and very big cemetery people on a hill. Like I've been there, I've been to that cemetery more than I've been to any cemetery for my family. And even from here, you know, Jeff grew up here in Cleveland, but his family paid not just his parents, but like, I know his Aunt Mary Jane and his dad took turns. Like they paid somebody in Pennsylvania to take care of the graves, to maintain them and to plant flowers. And I think the story is when Jeff's mom died suddenly, when Jeff was 13, his two brothers were just a few years older. Her parents, the grandparents, were so devastated that they literally sold their house and bought a house, moved right across the street from the cemetery so that they could live right there and probably go there every day and cry.
Wow.
And despite not being cemetery people, and nor is Jeff, but one of the first things he did when we got together was take me to Manassas, where, you know, his grandparents had lived and his mom was buried, and introduced me to some people. And we went to the cemetery a couple times there. So I guess like you, like deep in his heart somewhere, it was a thing there, but haven't been there in years now. But
did that seal the deal for you? You're like, that's it. This is a good guy.
It's so funny. He was recently, he had business near there. So he went to the cemetery only because he had to kill a couple hours and he needed No pun intended. He had to sit with his laptop and do some work.
At the cemetery?
Well, yeah, because that's, he knew he had a signal and he knew he could sit and like be out of the way.
Got it.
And after some time, this guy came up to his car and approached him. And he's like, brother, are you okay? Aww. And just like, oh yeah, I'm fine. I'm just working. The guy was like, oh, because you know, sometimes people get really upset here. And isn't that sweet?
Yeah, that's very sweet.
Yeah.
But to your point, I don't know why we have cemeteries either. You want to be cremated?
I think I would like to be cremated. And my ashes buried. I guess Jeff and I need to kind of talk about this.
You don't have to. You can just refer to the podcast now.
Right. I mean, I don't really care. I'm not a person that where I am or where my loved ones are after death. Other than I'm not really a fan of sprinkling ashes places. I don't really love that. I do feel like I want to be somewhere sacred, but I don't care if anybody ever visits me, and I'll probably never visit anybody. I don't think you're there. I don't think they're walking around the cemetery, checking on us, chatting with us. I mean, I know some people do and that's fine, but I don't. So yeah. So it's not been a real focus. My mom lost her friend Elaine recently though, and it gave her the opportunity to tell us a little bit. She said, you know, I think especially after COVID, even Catholics, the funeral situation changed, right? We used to have to do the thing, the 2-day visitation with the hugging and the crying and all the people and the cookies in the basement, and then the actual funeral and the burial. And it's a lot.
Yeah.
And so I think COVID shook a bunch of that up. And Elaine, who was a practicing Catholic, she just had a memorial mass, was cremated, and then we all had the service. There was no separate visitation. And my mom said, you know, I think at this age, that's what I want. Have a nice celebration and a nice lunch and call it a day. So that helped us to know what she wants, because, some traditions still work for some people, and some it's like, why are we spending 3 days, maybe possibly putting ourselves through a lot because we think we're supposed to.
Yeah, I don't know who came up with the 3-day rule. Like, that's what you get for mourning, and
yeah,
that's just not reality. Plus, like, there's something a little weird about embalming, and having this body. I mean, people used to put the body in your living room.
Remember? Right.
I mean, not remember. Yeah. I've never seen it, but like.
No, but yeah. Yeah.
And the whole idea of closure, like seeing somebody in closure and all that, like that's just, I mean, I understand the idea of closure, but I don't personally, I don't know that it's the need to like actually see a body.
See the body. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Maybe in the case of a younger person, because your mind can't really wrap around it, but then that's the last thing I want to see.
Right. Yeah. So
a closed casket, maybe that'll give me the closure I need, or an urn.
My dad always used to say, like, what, I mean, not that it came up a lot, but like, what do I care? I'll be dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he's buried at Rittman, and I've been there a couple of times, once or twice to actually visit him. And then, you know, his two remaining brothers, my two last two uncles on that side.
I mean, Rittman has to have a certain feel about
yes,
it.
Yes, it absolutely does. Yeah.
Military connection is so, I mean, that'll put a lump in your throat, whether you've got somebody there or not.
Well, and you go there and you see like pennies on the grave or change coins on the graves, gravestones.
Yeah.
And that's, I know there's a military meaning. It's to let the deceased service or the deceased family know that someone was there. And a penny means someone had visited. A nickel means that the visitor served with that person at boot camp. A dime means they served together at some point. And then a quarter means that they were there when they died. So yeah. Like, yeah,
just little signals, like it gives you goosebumps.
And like the whole organization of a military cemetery is just, it's just a little breathtaking, you know, where, and it's weird with regard to my dad, cause he never talked about the military and here he is in this cemetery. And that's where my mom will be buried as well. Cause that's, you know, part of the deal. And, but yeah, I don't know. I kind of like the idea of a green funeral.
We talked about that a little bit when I had heard that Guy Fieri episode that his sister did that. Were your dad and his brothers drafted? Right.
My dad was, I think a couple of my brother or my uncles were, but there were certain, some of them actually enlisted. So yeah. with my dad's family, there's six boys and there's like two sets of three. There's the older set. And then there was like a pause, like a break.
Yeah.
And then there was the younger set. So
then they got back to it.
And they got back to it. And so I think that the older ones were already enlisted. Maybe.
So my dad was in the army. He was drafted. He was older than your dad. So that was, his claim to fame action there was escorting, what's his name? Meredith into Ole Miss. Oh, shame on me. I need to look that up. The segregated college, but.
Oh, yeah. You told me about that.
My point is, so I don't really have any military family members. And it seems like a foreign kind of life to me, people that are career military. I was thinking about this with Lisa Rich. But even to sit here with you these days and talk about your relationship with your dad and stuff, like there's just no way to acknowledge or repay the debt that military families pay, whether your dad enlisted or was drafted. It changed and affected his life forever and his children's lives forever. And, you know, the same with, you know, you've married someone who was in the military and his dad was in the military as well. And there's no way for the rest of us. I mean, it's easy to say thank you and to wish and pray all the good things, but it is like part of the fabric of your life and your family that none of the rest of us can possibly understand.
Not and it's just, something that I didn't understand until maybe the last 20 years.
Yeah, like not just deployment and what your job is and where you live, But these other things, it shaped the person that he became and was. It shaped the parent and the husband that he was. And all of those things did the same to you.
Right.
Shaped who you are in the conversation that you're having at age 50 on a podcast with your co-star.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I was.
Well, thank you, military. And there's no way to even understand or acknowledge. I'm just acknowledging that.
I was at the mall the other day and I just needed to run in to get some makeup and the sweater that I couldn't get off my mind. So I just said, screw it. And I bought it. Haven't worn it yet.
There was a sweater on your mind.
Well, I stop in at the Loft every now and then. Mm-hmm. And there's a sleeveless sweater and it's really cute. I tried it on. It's super cute.
Yeah. Cute not, because you have apples instead of watermelons.
Oh my God.
Cute for you.
I'd buy one for you too. But it just, I shouldn't say I would never wear it. I just don't have the occasion to wear it these days. Like if I was still working, I would, I'm not going to put on a nice sweater after hot yoga.
No, but just wear it somewhere. Wear it to book club.
Well,
wear
and that's why I ended up buying it. But and it wasn't like ridiculously expensive. I just didn't feel like I would use it. Mm-hmm. And it was also like $60. I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah, right.
And then I'm on their email list and I got an email saying everything was 40 or 50% off. And I was like, okay, well then I'll get the sweater.
Yes.
Even if I don't wear it.
Hey, marketing works. Advertising works.
Yeah. So
sales work.
I did the thing where I just picked, I bought it and had it ready for me there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, not that this is important at all, but I went to Sephora and picked up a few things and that was my 20 minutes at the mall. But I was walking in and there was a woman that I would guess was, maybe around in our age range. And I'm guessing she was with her father who was obviously older. And I was almost positive he had like a veteran hat, ball cap on. And I was like hauling ass to like kind of get in front to see. And sure enough, it was Vietnam Marine.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to say something, mm-hmm. So I just said, thank you for, I'm like power walking next to them. Cause I, thank you for your service.
Here comes a mall walker, dad.
Yeah. And I was like, cause there's this something in me that's like, I wanted to be like, my dad served in the Marines too. Did you serve with my dad? I want to go through all the things, but I didn't.
It's just like an I see you.
Yes.
I see you. Like he without saying great. More, I acknowledge a bunch of stuff about you just because of this one thing that I know about you because of your hat.
Yeah. So I just said, funny. Thank you for your service. And he said, thank you. I said, my dad was a Marine. And he just kind of shook his head and kept walking.
And you got to wonder, did that ever happen to your dad at the mall? Probably.
Oh, yeah. Once he started wearing his Vietnam veteran hat, he got all kind of, everywhere he went, he liked that. And then, but he would only really talk to other servicemen.
Yeah, that brings veterans. Me around to one of the podcasts I listened to on the way home. Jesus Calling had, I can't come up with the guy's name right now, but we can add it in. But he was the guest and he was talking about people being seen, just like you just said. Not the 500 yard stare that you give a homeless person or an addict or whatever, so they don't see you, but to look in someone's eyes and see them and just acknowledge something, yeah. And that's what you did. So that's good. Like you didn't have to say much more, but he's like, he gets that you get it and you get something about him. And also on a really less deep matter, I had to go to Loft recently too.
Oh.
Because I wanted to buy a gift card for my sister Colleen's birthday. Her birthday was September 9th. I was buying this before I left. So I went to Loft and they had a thing where if you spent, I don't know, $100 or something, or maybe not even $100, you got $25 in Loft bucks or whatever, right? But that doesn't work for a gift card. So I couldn't buy her a gift card and get her the $25 extra. Spending bucks. So I had to pick out something, which is really difficult because you pick out what you like. We're very different. So I ended up getting something really generic and then in her card, put a lengthy note about, I'm sorry I picked this really generic thing for you, but because I bought this, you get this extra $25 when you exchange it to buy more. But so the gift card thing didn't work. And there's my loft story.
Why didn't you buy yourself something, get the $25, and then just get her a gift card along with that?
Well, I think it's because I didn't think of that, Joyce. But also, like you, I don't need a lot at Loft these days. Right? Like, I mean, my God, I wear overalls more often than not anymore.
I don't love their shorts and pants, but I do, I always go to their clearance rack because sometimes
I was going to say they do put a lot on sale.
Yeah. I can get some decent, like just regular old t-shirts and long sleeve t-shirts.
Yeah. And it's good stuff.
That,
but a lot of the nicer, the dressier things are a little conservative for this time in my life, which I probably should be a little more conservative.
Thank you for saying that, because I bought a dress there like last year or the year before. It's green with white polka dots. And I thought in the store it was really cute. I don't have a lot of long dresses. Mm-hmm. And I wore it once or twice and I was just like, I don't feel like this is me. I don't have a lot of green things. Mm-hmm. But there's a dress that's there right now that I really like. And I keep reminding myself, like, I just need to give this green dress away. I think it's too mature for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you're saying. So I yeah. appreciate you acknowledging that. Mm-hmm. But
having said that, like my niece, who's a teacher, shops at Loft and buys super cute stuff. I mean, of course, she's tall and thin and can wear almost anything.
Yeah. Well, that helps.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have any long dresses, because I'm short. And so the long dress makes me look even shorter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you're a little lost in fabric.
Yes.
Prairie girl.
Exactly. That's me being lost in fabric. Did you do any yoga while you were out calivanting around the East Coast?
Well, I wasn't on the coast, but yeah, in the mountains, I definitely took my yoga mat and did just morning yoga on my own. Sometimes in the past I would do a Zoom or, you know, look up a class, but this time I just did my own yoga. And then when I got to the kids, gosh, there just wasn't time I intended to, but I was just determined to at least like do some push-ups and sit-ups, and Jack just started doing them with me. So that got to be a funny thing.
So I'm last with you night, on that whole, oh, sorry. That whole kid thing. Last night, I don't know how people get shit done when they have kids. It's impossible.
And it's twofold. It is all this stuff, right? Because there was karate and gymnastics and baseball, and Jeff's very helpful, even though he was working, and all the dads are helpful now. But what the moms usually do, and I forgive me, it's not all the moms, it's some of the dads, but yes, you get the baseball stuff together, but it's me who's thinking 2 days before, is the baseball stuff clean? And is are his cleats in the bag? Because, you know, kids.
And what are we going to feed them later? And
right. So there's all that. Right. I mean, I better pack the snacks. I better pack extra clothes. I better pack sleeves, you know? But then there's also, and this is only a week of it, and Kennedy's 9. So she's really self-sufficient. And I wasn't working every day. All that being said, I still had no time to think, to meditate, to pray, to check in with people, to check social media, none of those things. So the greater part is that young people with families, you know, can really lose their like self for a number of years, which again is the platitude we all know. We hear about this. And I guess our mom's generation, you know, maybe they didn't work. And there certainly was no focus on self, not on yourself, health or help or your wants or needs or desires, or do you like this kind of music? What kind of music you're watching, what kind of TV you're watching, you don't even get that.
Yeah.
Unless you're the parent that puts them in front of devices and goes and watches your own, which most hopefully are not.
Yeah, that's funny you say that, because my parents, they liked the Beatles. Mm-hmm. Like it never went anywhere. My dad liked the Moody Blues, but like there was nothing ever.
Once upon a time.
But like you're saying, we meaning probably more me because I'm so much older than my brothers, but would make fun of them because they didn't like anything current.
But they didn't, and nor were they going to see their musical, right? They didn't go to concerts.
Right.
Things were different then. There really probably were different.
But then I'm also thinking about like, there are a couple of couples that play softball, and one couple in particular, they have two young children under the age of two, actually. I think their son is going to be two in a couple of weeks. And one set of parents watches them on Friday nights so that they could go play softball. And this other woman that I met through softball, just through subbing, and you just meet people, right? She messaged. I ended up playing a third game on Friday here in Seven Hills. Because I've played with most of the members of this team before, and they're super nice, but I've never played on this field in the city I live in. And it was just kind of like, yeah, I can do this. And I don't know her that well, but I don't know. I just assumed she was single, but her husband was on the team. And not only is she not single, they have a son who's like nine. And the other night she plays, which I think is Tuesdays, like she plays that night and her husband does something some other night, but this is what they do together. And her parents watch the kids, and like it could sound funny, like, oh, it's softball night, but like then they have a dedicated, like, healthy thing to do that's their own, that, you know, the kids, like last night,
adult conversation.
Yes.
Other people.
It's other
putting
people.
Putting on deodorant and clothes.
Right. Maybe having like a goal, or a, you know, like I want this team to win, or I want to hit better, you know, like just something.
Something personal. Yeah.
Something personal. But that's just so important. So anyhow, before I cut you off, you were saying something about last night. I'm guessing we were talking about yoga. I'm guessing it was your
class. So I came home. I got home Sunday night, and last night I had to teach twice. And I was like, wow, am I going to remember how to do this? I better take a look at my plan. And I really didn't have a plan, but it felt good. I mean, it felt good. Hopefully it was fun. And you know, back at it till I leave again.
I'm sure it was great. I know at this point, sometimes we get people that say, where's Mary Beth now? But I think
where's Waldo?
More often than not, it's like, oh, Mary Beth's not here. But you always come back.
I do. I always come back. I hate being away that long at a time. I mean, I know it does interrupt continuity with people. And even so, even this time when I was away, I did get a text saying, hey, have you ever taken so-and-so's class? What's it like? Because they were subbing for me. Like, just take the class. Who cares if Mary Beth's not here?
Your practice. Yeah. It's all good. So excuse me for somebody driving by or walking by. Colt's getting mad. He's a funny dog.
That also the babysitting week, you know, the kids have a cat and two dogs, and they sent the dogs to the babysitter for a week to make life easier for us as well. So we wouldn't have to come home and worry about that on the daily.
Oh, but you got to spend time with the cat.
The cat became way more social. In fact, the poor cat is probably in trauma therapy right now because I think the cat thought the dogs are gone.
What kind of dogs?
Doodles.
That's right.
Doodle, golden doodle. Yeah. The great dogs too, but big. And just, I think they thought, you know, this way you don't always have to come back home. Kennedy's tracked out of school, so she didn't have school every day. Jackson had daycare if we wanted. We sent him probably less than half the time, a couple of days he went. So I had it even easier, you know,
yeah,
than it might've been, but we did miss the dogs. I'll say that. Well, I'll say I miss the dogs. I don't know if Jeff did.
Dogs are fun. Speaking of dogs, I've got to get the growling one too. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're both here. I thought Chloe left. Look at this.
Oh, and their chins are on the windowsill, just gazing out at a world that they want to walk in.
Yeah, or they sometimes fall asleep with their chins on the windowsill. They do like to walk though. They'll never turn that down.
No.
But yeah, they're not going too far these days. Doesn't take much to, but
yeah,
they're
how
fun.
Are they doing?
They're doing all right. Well, so he's on Rimadyl and gabapentin. And I tried to switch him to carprofen, which is the generic form of Rimadyl, because it's way cheaper than Rimadyl. Like,
listen to you.
Probably a third.
Throwing out the pharmaceutical name.
Right. So you just, what you do is you go to Chewy or whatever you're going to buy it from. And you.
How's your angina? Angina, not your vagina. How's your hip?
Then Chewy.
How's your gout?
Chewy will call the vet and say, you know, verify the prescription. So I did that. I finally did that because I screwed it up once. I put Chloe's name instead of Colt and the vet denied it and, you know, the whole thing. And so I finally did it again last week. And then the vet called and said,
oops, I did it again.
They haven't
crazy,
seen,
by the way,
we're going on a year that Colt's not been seen at the vet and he's due for shots and, you know, the whole thing. Mm. So they can't legally give him a new prescription.
Till he sees the vet.
Till he's being seen. So that has to happen today because they're closed on Wednesdays and he'll run out of Rimadyl. Like with him, if he doesn't get his medication, he gets slower. You know, it affects his arthritis. Not that I want him to go without medication. Mm-hmm. With her though, it's, you know, her heart condition, it's a little bit more serious. Yeah. She, this morning, so I've been doing the thing with, I've been trying to just leave her food alone now so she'll eat, but give her medicine in beef jerky.
Mm.
So I have to.
I like beef jerky.
It's so complicated with her because she's so smart. Mm. And Colt, he'll eat anything. So never complicated. I can throw his medication in a piece of bread and he'll be like, this is amazing. So I have to give her like a little piece of beef jerky and then I have to give. Well, actually,
she needs a test piece.
Well, if I give it to him first, because he'll act like he's never eaten before, even though he just ate. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe we're getting this. And he gets all excited. So then she's like, okay, I'll have some too. But then she's still a little like, she doesn't trust anything.
Doesn't trust you. Yeah.
So then I'll have to give him another small piece. And then I start to make like medicine sandwiches, right? So she gets two pills. She gets a half of a Lasix, which is a diuretic, and then half or a full enalapril, which is for blood pressure. So I have to make these little beef jerky sandwiches, and she always eats the first one. And then she's like, WTF, I know you just duped me. And so the second one, I swear to God, she probably got 6 pieces of beef jerky this morning and she still didn't eat her medication. She'll shake it and the pill will fall out. Like I'll try to stuff it in. Like sometimes
you ask the vet about, like, I know some pills should not be smashed or anything like that, but I wonder if you're,
no, I'm saying not smash. Like I don't break it, but like sometimes a beef jerky.
No, but I'm saying, I wonder if you could and make some sort of little bit of a smoothie, little bit of a liquid that you can syringe right at the back.
Somebody else suggested that too. Like that's probably the next step, but it was like,
cause then it's the not knowing, like, did she get that pill or am I going to find it under the couch?
She's dropping it right underneath my feet. Mm. And you know, and then at some point I try to give her a piece of beef jerky and she's like,
nice try, Joyce.
Forget it. I'm not going to eat that or my breakfast. So screw you.
You trusted.
Right. So it's a whole thing, but they're good. They're happy. They're obviously guarding the house from the, mm-hmm. from the upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
We got, you know how Amazon, like, you get the notifications that your package is 10 houses away and mm-hmm. all the things. So I bought that book, the Intermittent Fasting Transformation book, and it was delivered. I don't know. It was delivered sometime. Maybe Friday or Saturday or something, but we got an Amazon notification of your package is a few houses away. Please secure your pets.
Ah!
And I looked at James. I'm like, I'm kind of bummed about this because we have a porch, mm-hmm. and they leave our stuff on the porch. And Colt, he's just the idiot that he breaks the windows with his head. Mm-hmm. But like, he can't. There's no risk there. He can't get to them. And we've moved the couch back a little bit further from the window. So it's not like leaning right up to it. So he can't
reach it.
He would really have to launch himself into the window to break it. But like, there's not, and the, our fence is secure if they're outside. Like there's, but I can imagine if you're dropping off Amazon packages, that it can be pretty scary to.
Right. And if somebody had a bad experience, they don't want to hear, oh, don't worry, he's really not able to get out, or he's not going to hurt you. There's the dogs next door to me have an invisible fence, and it works. They never cross it. But there was one time, I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago, my mom had a choking incident.
Yeah, I do remember.
And friends of ours sent her, like they Uber Eats sent her some ice cream. And the guy, so then my friends are calling me saying, the guy is in your driveway asking if somebody could come out and get this ice cream because he will not get out of his car with these two dogs that he can see next door. So I'm like, oh my goodness.
What kind of dogs do your neighbors have?
They're kind of, one is a bulldog and the other one is kind of a mix. They're good. My mom walks over and gives them treats, and they, even then they don't cross over the thing. So, and I like, the one barks a bit, but I like that because living here on an acre in the dark, I'm a little afraid of the dark. So when I come home and it's pitch black at night, I don't mind a dog barking.
Yeah. I don't mind that either. Sometimes he gets a little too upset about mailmen and stuff, but in the middle of the night, I'm pretty grateful for it. Mm-hmm. It's funny when we are doing the WALK and and the mail truck is like kind of moving along with us. Like he goes into like, you know, his chest gets all puffed
right,
up.
Right, right.
Like,
he's a defense.
What are you doing over here?
I thought I avoided your dogs already today.
No, I'm talking about the dog where he's like.
Oh, I thought the mailman was getting all like. Huh.
No. Colt's like, oh, seriously, you're going to, this is my favorite time of the day. You're going to F this up. I don't have arthritis right now. I'm going to
10 feet tall and bulletproof.
Yeah. Well, thanks for catching up, Mary Beth.
Yeah, we could do this all day. So I guess we should stop at some point because I don't know how long we've been speaking.
I don't either because. I know what time we tried to start, but right. I don't know what time we started.
It all went to hell after that. To hell in a handbasket.
But you sound good. So for everyone out there in their international podcast world, it was not the microphone that James just wants an excuse to buy new microphones.
Yeah. It wasn't the mic. It wasn't the cord. It was my port. Is that the word? My USB. I was calling it random other things like holes.
Is your port worn out, Mary Beth?
My port is worn out. And I realized that on my desktop yesterday when I tried to plug in a phone charger and it kept clucking in and out. So I was like, ah, I'm the problem. So then today we rigged this up on a laptop instead, which won't show my face. So we're just,
yeah, we never like, really explained that.
It's like the TV in 1976 that I was saying. We have one for audio and one for video.
So we both trouble shot.
Shot, as did Mr. Twerty for a moment.
And this new laptop where the camera thinks that it's being used, but nothing is coming over to the other side. So Mary Beth is on Zoom, both on her laptop and her phone, but we muted the phone so that I could just see her because it would be weird to like see myself and not Mary Beth.
Right.
So yeah, we've got all the technology going on. Too bad I didn't have that Apple water bottle to drink water with.
Listen, if you get that thing, that's ridiculous. How much does that cost?
Like $70.
How ridiculous to tell you to drink water and to sync with your watch and your phone and your Bluetooth to drink water.
But here's the thing. What if I drink the proper amount of water?
If I took a picture of you to send to Bolivia, I would have to crop that out.
So this is what I was telling Jamie, because we're talking about hydration and like all of that. And I said, I had an idea for a water bottle that it should, and this is a coffee cup for the International Podcast, but it should have like, I don't know, 8 bracelets or hair ties around it. So every time you get down to that, you put one on your wrist or in your hair. So that you know you had 8, or even if it was, you're rolling your eyes.
You lost your mind.
Or if it was 4, then you'd have to take them off and put them back on. Because I don't really know how much water I drink. Again, I think I drink a lot of water, but I might not. And so she was like, oh, do you know that Apple has this Hydrate Spark water bottle, and it has these LEDs on the bottom. They light up if you haven't had enough water, and it tracks, and there's an app and the whole thing. And I went into this thing where I said, you know, I think I need that because the other day I had my phone, my iPad, and my laptop. And I think I was going to the porch or I was coming back upstairs or something. And James is like, what are you doing? He's like, and I had my watch on, you know? And he's like, can you just like put your Apple things down for a moment? I'm like, listen,
this
I don't really.
This is why people hate Americans, Joyce.
Right. I go, I don't really have like this allegiance to Apple, but all my shit works well together. And I just needed to get some stuff done. So I have all my things. Like, I didn't even think, oh, let me get my Apple this or my, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
I have all the confidence in the world that you can drink the water that you want without having this special water bottle. I have faith in you. We can check in every day. You can use different cups. You can use your hair tie philosophy. You can use a magic marker on a water bottle. I don't know what to tell you, but you're going to disappoint me if you get that bottle.
International podcast audience, my birthday is November 18th. And wouldn't it be cool if I could take this water bottle to
you're
Cancun,
getting that bottle.
Potentially
somebody's
to Cancun?
Somebody's going to get you that bottle.
If I do go
that.
To Cancun.
But it won't be me.
There are 3,802 ratings on Amazon.
For the bottle?
Look, first one, I've never been great at drinking.
Just because all your friends are doing it? If all your friends are jumping off a bridge, are you going to do it too?
Listen, Mom, for years, I used the same plastic 24-ounce water bottle with a chug lid, thinking that seeing how much I needed to drink would encourage me, but it didn't. I've tried different apps to remind me to drink, and they were too easy to ignore if I struggled or if I was busy. I struggled to get in the recommended 64 ounces a day. I've been eyeing this for a long time. I mean, a long time. And trying to justify spending money on another water bottle when there was
after
really
she's
wrong
already,
with one.
She's already used apps unsuccessfully. I think she might be the problem. I'm just going to say.
Things I love about this bottle, using the app and their parameters, it was determined that I should actually be drinking 88 ounces. OMG.
I'm trying to picture like cavemen or Laura Ingalls Wilder. And how did they manage to stay hydrated?
I don't know. But she found that not being able to see how much that is left in her bottle is actually a good thing. Seeing how much she had left was more of a discouragement. Her drinks are always cold. There's no annoying condescension.
Condensation. The
condensation. I was like, provide. That didn't come out. Yeah.
I'll provide.
The light up reminder is great. It's really hard to ignore. And my coworkers ask about it, which encourages me to drink to show them what it does. That would be me. I'll FaceTime you. I'll send you videos all the time. She drinks a nutrition supplement twice a day that needs 10 ounces of water. It connects with her Fitbit, but I don't have that and I don't need it.
I guess because of my words, they're not going to sponsor our international podcast.
It uses her location to determine how much she should drink. So it adjusts for hot, humid summer days.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
What she doesn't like, since I'm drinking so much more, I'm also running to the ladies' room a lot more.
Well, hasn't Apple solved that problem yet?
Well, James, what was James's idea?
Forget
it.
His idea was terrible and it involved the butthole. So we're not going to go there.
Anyhow, well, I'm sure I'll have
it's a good place
later.
To leave this. All right, we're done.
Condemnation, condensation, same thing.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
Condemnation. Wait, the condescension.
Condescension.
And condemnation for your condensation.
Thanks, Mary Beth.